Joshua chapter 2. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And so they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." And then the women took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened, as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. She then tells the Israelites about how she had heard about them, about their great battles and victory, about how they had came out of the land of Egypt and walked across dry land on the Red Sea as they crossed. And in verse 11, it says this, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did they remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father and my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." When we examine and hear about Rahab, very seldom ever do you hear about Rahab without her description either preceding or following her name. Rahab the harlot. The harlot named Rahab. And as I look and I read about this in Joshua chapter 2, where we're introduced to this lady named Rahab, I can't help but think about the fact that she has, in from the outside looking in, she just simply has a broken life. A life that is put together by pieces, and there's pieces seemingly missing, and there's heartache and despair. It's a broken life. This morning, we were going to look at this idea of a broken life. We all maybe have come from a background or have pieces of our life that is in fact a broken life. You may feel as though your life is a broken life right now. Here at Ephesus, as part of the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, we are glad to have you here. Those of you who are here this morning, and especially those of you who are visiting, we are here to encourage and to uplift one another, to worship, to praise God, to bring God glory, and to be shining lights in this dark world, and to meet people, to talk to people, and share the fact that we too had a broken life that was mended and made whole by God. Just as we look at Rahab the harlot, we can't help but think about this life that she lived that seemed to be a broken life. She listened to stories about the Israelites and their victories despite their odds. Her mind was intrigued about this God, the Lord God of the Israelites, this God they called Jehovah, and where she sat in her life as it was broken all around her, living a life and participating and having a job that seemingly that would not represent anyone that was a believer or could have faith in God. It's easy to speculate, and I don't think it's much of a stretch to say Rahab's life was, in fact, a broken life. Throughout Scripture, we see that God uses broken lives. He uses trials and unexpected tribulations that have worn us out, leaving us feeling depleted and having nothing left to give. And I've given it all. I've been broken down. I've been wore out. There's nothing more. I can't help but think about Rahab and all of the times that maybe she had met with someone or dealt with someone, and she made a deal. She made a deal with them. She made a deal with God. She made a deal with others around her. And she made this deal, and she says, "This is it. No more." And she had been let down and wore out, and she had just why make any more deals? But yet, Rahab the harlot protected and had faith in God and in the people of God within these children of Israel, that she took them in and she harbored them and sheltered them and said, hey, look, they went out over that way. Hide behind the door. Get on the rooftop. I'll cover you up with some shingles. There they go. They just went out the gate. Hurry. If you'll hurry up, you'll catch them. I know y'all are faster than they are and stronger than they are. They won't be any kind of match for you, O king. She made one more deal. She said, because I've taken care of you, would you take care of me? You know, my life is falling apart around me. I know about your God. And I know about His strength. And I know about His victories over all of these great armies. And you with a small number could defeat them. And I know about all that. And I know we little old Jericho, we this city, this little old city in the mind and the eyes of God, this great city that we think it is, we know that this is no match for you and your God. We know that. And as broken as my life seems all around me, I am reaching out to you because I know that you're about to destroy Jericho and leave nothing but a little pile of rock left. So I'm asking you, children of Israel, I'm asking you, God, the Father in heaven, to don't break my life anymore. As I look to you, as I lean on you, as I trust you, and I trust God. See, Rahab's broken life, I think, is partly the reason why she turned to God in so many ways. And God uses broken lives even to this day in each and every one of us. God uses broken lives to help build our character up, to help build a strong endurance, to develop this idea that I can endure things, I can endure hardships. When I was in 10th grade in high school, we had a teacher, his name was Coach Gray. Coach Gray would sit there and we'd say, Coach, I gotta go to the bathroom. He said, no, you don't. I said, yeah, I gotta go to the bathroom. I mean, you don't know my bladder system like I do. I need to go to the bathroom. He said, you don't need to go to the bathroom. I gotta go to the bathroom. He said, I've been teaching for like 8 years. He said, ain't nobody peed on themselves yet. He said, I'm just waiting on the day. He said, it'll be worth it. He said, it'll build character. That's what it'll do. It'll build character. If you'll wait, you hold it, you don't go to the bathroom. I built a lot of character in that 10th grade class. I think sometimes when God has lives around us and He's watching us and He's helping us build character. In Psalms chapter 34 verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. It is those who are seemingly looking and saying there's no way, other way out. That they turn and they look to God for that lift and for that arrival, for that encouragement, for that strength, for that endurance, for that character to be built. When we are broken, we are more open and we are more willing to listen to God. Why? Because I've tried it my way and I found out how dumb that is. I've kept trying to go down this road by myself and I found out there is no success in that. God uses this moment of brokenness to reveal the defects in our own character that we otherwise could not see. I think about those people who are built up kind of a little bit with themselves and they are so full of themselves they can't seem to see God. When we are broken, God can then move in and make our character what it should be and what it ought to be and give us the victory over Satan. Over our heartaches, over our trials, over our tribulations. In Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62, we have the story here of Peter denying Jesus. And it says, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. There in verse 61 and 62, Peter remembers those things after denying Christ three times. And he says, it would never happen. Remember? Peter told Jesus, he said, that's never going to happen. I'm never going to deny you. I will die with you, but I'm not ever going to deny you. I'm not ever going to turn my back on you. And I wonder all the times where the disciples are walking behind Jesus and they were talking, and you remember some of these stories where they were like, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to be the biggest and the best? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And then here's Jesus looking at Peter, and he said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. On that confession. On your words. On the words that came out of Peter's mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. On that right there, I'm going to build my church. Who's the greatest among the disciples? I wonder if inside of them they were sometimes wondering, well, we know Peter's first place, so who's going to be second? Here's old Peter. And I wonder if Peter, you know, he was there in the garden with Jesus. He saw Jesus in the transfiguration. And he was there. He saw all these things. And I'm sure on that night he was going, hey, Jesus, ain't nothing going to happen to you. I know you're the Son of God. I know it. And that's why I'm bold enough to say this. If you're going to die, I'm going to die with you. I'll never deny you. I'll never be a traitor. Remember, the rooster crowed and Jesus and Peter's eyes kind of lock. You know, you can kind of see that image there that's like, oh, no. And I'm sure Peter at that moment could not have felt any more broken, any more of a traitor than the way he felt right then. And that moment of brokenness changed Peter's life. Because he went outside that city and he wept bitterly. And he realized, you know, am I really what I think I am? That I have built myself up to be this big and great disciple of Jesus? Or do I still need help from God? He realized, I still need help from God. I still need more encouragement. I need more direction. Peter's spirit, when it was truly broken, is when he repented. And God grew his character into something magnificent. Second thing that God does with broken lives is it brings us closer to God. Have you ever noticed that tests and trials oftentimes will bring us closer to God? I'll tell you, there's times where I see people in a despairing situation, a diagnosis, maybe with the pregnancy of a wife or of themselves, and they look at that and I'm going, man, I don't know how you can keep true to God like that. And they just keep getting stronger in faith and stronger in faith. And I'm going, how do you do it? And finally he said, well, where else am I going to go other than to God? Where else am I going to turn other than to the Lord? There is in no other place that I can find comfort. There is no other place in where I can find shelter. And sure, while my life is falling apart around me and everything seems broken, God is a steady and true and constant friend. But He's the one that hasn't let me down. He's the one that is going to mend all of this brokenness falling apart around me. Broken lives oftentimes will bring us closer to God. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This idea of yoking yourself to Jesus, to the Master, I think oftentimes that people have this image in their mind that being yoked with Jesus is getting in the cart behind the ox. And that's not what it's about. He did not describe it in such a way as that. He said, we're going to walk through this together. We're going to tread through this together. It's going to be difficult, but I'm going to... You can't do one thing without affecting the other one. We have a form of death that was the brainchild of my lovely wife. That when the boys are fighting between themselves and they can't seem to get along, she puts them together in one of my t-shirts. In the same t-shirt. And they have one of them's got an arm sticking out the left side, the other one's got his arm sticking out the right side, and they'll sit there. And we'll sit them on the bases. And if it wasn't for fearful that we'd have to go to the hospital over it, I'd have left them that way. But they tried to walk, and they couldn't walk. They couldn't stay in step with one another. You see, if you're yoked and you're tied in with someone, you've got to be on the same page. You're not going to be able to go through it without being, you know, some kind of bad is going to happen to the other one. If I quit walking with my yoke with Jesus, I'm going to end up being choked out because He's going to keep on walking down the right path. If I take off and I try to leave Jesus behind, He's saying, stay by me. You don't know what's out there. And it's funny that all of this stuff happened because I thought I had it all figured out. And now that I'm bonded, I'm close to God, and it's kind of like, well, do I really want to leave that? Do I really want to leave that closeness that I've got with God to go and try to do my own thing? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. What greater joy could there be than the closeness with God? Some people fear showing weakness, but not David. Some people are filled up with themselves, but not David. David had no problem telling people of his trials, of his tribulations, of his temptations, of his sins, of the things that plagued his heart. He had no problem admitting that and showing that and speaking about that. Psalms chapter 6 and verse 2, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. We have no problem admitting our weaknesses, our shortcomings. And that's what this church is all about, is that we can lean on one another, that we could learn from one another, that we could share with one another the things that bother us as we look to and lean in on God, bringing us closer to Him. God uses broken lives to push us into His purpose. All throughout the Scripture, we see people with a broken life, with a disparaging situation that they could not find any way out, only to rise up and to be the hero of the story. Taking nobodies and making them great and awesome heroes in the Bible, male or female, either one. The problem is the fact that we can look at and we can read in the Bible the beginning, the middle, and the end of their story. And the problem with us is that we're in the middle. And oftentimes the middle and the plot is so overwhelming in our lives, we can't see the end. And we must continue to look toward God in our broken situation to fulfill His purpose in our lives. He pushes us into His purpose, into what He wants from us and what He wants us to be. In Acts chapter 9, Saul is on the road to Damascus, and he comes across there and he's blinded by this great light. And by this great light that Saul's vision goes away from him. And it is upon that day, and from then on, Saul seeks out to do the will of the Father through Jesus Christ. You see, he thought he had it all figured out. He thought he knew what he needed to do with his life, but little did he know God's got a bigger plan for him. The brokenness of Saul's vision and his sight and unable to see by that blinding light was actually the thing that opened up his eyes to the will of God. We must be willing to be used for the purpose of God in his life. God allows pain and brokenness to build and shape and mold and direct our lives for His purpose. He allows us to be hurt. He allows things to happen that when we are broken, it'll make us who we are supposed to be. I have in my hand two little objects. You may not be able to see from where you are. You may think it's a pixie stick, but it's not. This is a glow stick. This is a glow stick. Anybody ever play with a glow stick before? Yeah, play with a glow stick. Give this to any kid. Give this to any kid. Give us what? Watch. How you use a glow stick? How you use a glow stick? How you use it? What you got to do to it? What you got to do to the glow stick? Y'all are doing a terrible job making my point. What do you got to do to make that glow stick work, Levi?
Turn off the lights.
You got to turn off the lights? What do you got to do, Brian? What do you got to do to the glow stick to make it work? You got to break it. Thank you. Yeah, you got to break it. You got to break the glow stick before it'll start working. You know, so before we're really broken, can we really let our light shine? Are we really, really willing to let our light... That turned off the thing, didn't it? Are we really willing to let our light shine until we've been broken? I mean, because whenever you're broken, you feel like it's just overwhelming and that there's no way to get out of it. But through that brokenness, your light can shine and you can turn into something all the more beautiful. You can turn something that, like a little glow stick that has no brightness, and once it's broken, it turns into this beautiful glowing light. And then you can buy little shaping objects like this, and you can make glasses out of it and anything else. But so many times we get overwhelmed all because I got broken that we don't see what God's making us out to be. We don't see what He's putting us, allowing us to go through and pushing us into His purpose of what we can do. Paul's moment of brokenness became the triumph of many. Paul wrote some 13 odd books. Paul went to how many cities and established a church? And it all started on a day where he was blinded and could not see. And that's the same thing that many of us, same way that many of us were found when we came to Christ. We were blind and we could not see. But by His light, by the way He is able to glue and mend us and make us whole, He is able to bring pure joy and happiness to our broken lives. The last thing that we can do through our brokenness is to begin some sort of ministry, some sort of helping those who are in need. In Psalms chapter 66 and verse 16, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. Testimonies give hope and strength and strengthen our faith." I heard it said one time, having a testimony is a good thing, that you can share your story about God to others. Getting a testimony is no fun at all. The idea that you probably had a bad passage, you had a bad history, that you had some misfortune or despair in your life, and now you have to reminisce on that, but you get to tell the story that says this: I came out on the other side by God's power. I came out of that because of God's strength. I came out of that because I had faith in God, and it is in God alone that I had any kind of hope. No other kind of hope was I to find except for through God and His redeeming love that can heal my brokenness. The faith of Rahab saved her whole family on the day of destruction in Jericho. In Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. She married Salmon, had a son who married Ruth, who had a son who was the father of Jesse, who begot David. All because of a lady named Rahab the harlot. She saved her family, and her family tree was forevermore changed because of her faith." If you'll continue reading in Matthew chapter 1, and if you know that if she was in the lineage of David, that she was in the lineage of the Messiah. She was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And to think that Christ that King David came from a family where there was a harlot. We have all came from some sort of family with some sort of brokenness, with some sort of misfortune, with some sort of heartache or despair. But the beautiful thing is that's not the end of your story. The end of your story is yet to be seen. It's yet to be told. It's yet to be given out from you and your life. But what's on the next page could be determined by you right now. What's on the next page could say, and then she became a Christian. But then she saved her whole family by hiding the Israelites in the house, showing them care, showing them safety. I don't know what the stage of brokenness that you're in this morning, but God alone is the one who can heal and make mended and whole. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.